Well, we are getting to Rosh Hashanah, and I thought maybe to share some thoughts with you, which are a little different than usual. You know, the Baruch Hashem, there's so much available all over the place, shiurim and chaburas and shmuzen, and the yesoides of Rosh Hashanah. The Olam is aware of them, or at least that there's plenty of places to acquaint oneself with what one ought to be thinking about in these very, very solemn days. So I thought I wanted to share with you a thought which is a little different perhaps than usually. Certainly I haven't talked about it, at least I don't think so. But of course, Rosh Hashanah is Hayom Haras Olam. Hayom Yamit Bamishpot Kol Yitzurei Olamim. Hayom Haras Olam. So I think that the correct translation of that is not like I think it's some of the translations translated today is the birthday of the world. Horo doesn't mean a birth. Horo means a conception. Vatahar Vatele. Vatahar means that she conceived. So Hayom Haras Olam does not mean that today is the birthday of the world, but Hayom Haras Olam means today eternity. I think Olam over here means eternity. Today eternity was conceived. In other words, this is the day when Adam HaRishon was created. And we're talking now about an eternity, the world in which we live, ultimately the Olam HaEmes, the Olam Haba. Things are beginning to move on this day. Today, Hayom Haras Olam. That's what I think the translation is. I don't think it makes that much difference, but just for the interest of it, I thought that that's what it really means. So, anyway, so we're getting to a day when the Ribbono Shel Ke'ilu sets in motion all living experience, which whatever it is to us and what we experience and the way we experience it, it all started on Rosh Hashanah, Hayom Haras Olam. And what I thought could use some thought on our part is I'd like to know what role the concept of beauty plays in the creation of the world. Why do I think of that, Dafka? Because of the Medrash. Everybody knows the Medrash. But I don't think I ever thought of it very much. Barichos. B'shor shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Adam HaRishon. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created Adam HaRishon, the Medrash says, Netola he took him, ve'chaziro al kol ilone gan Eden. And he took him around Gan Eden, he took him on a tour of Gan Eden, ve'omalo, and he said to him, Re'ei ma'asai, look what I've done over here. Kamon no'im u'mishubochim hein. Look how beautiful this garden is. Look how praiseworthy it is. And you should know that v'chol ma'ashu borosi b'shvilcho borosi. You know why I made it so beautiful? For your sake. Now please, ten daitcha shlo tekalkel v'sachariv es olomi. Please, please, please. I put so much thought k'v'yochel into planting this garden and making it beautiful beyond all beauty. Please don't spoil it. Ten daitcho shelo tekalkel v'sachariv es olomi. You can't help thinking that what the Loshon over here is saying is that if you are mekalkel it, that means if you ruin its beauty, that will be a churban of my world. I want to be medayek, this olomi. I'll get back to that in a moment. Let's read this again without my perush, just to get a handle on what is being said. It's in Medrash Rabbah. B'shor sheboru HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Adam HaRishon, notloi or natoloi, ve'chaziroi al kol ilone gan Eden, ve'omaloi, re'ei ma'asai kamon no'im umu shubochen hen, v'chol ma sheborosi b'shvilcho borosi, ten daitcho shelo tekalkel v'sachrev es olomi. What exactly is so important about it being a pretty garden? Tznoe Meshubach, what are the implications of that? And then it struck me, Ten Daitcho Shelo Tekalkel V'Sachariv Es Olami, which is very interesting if you think about it, if you think of the context. Let's just give a quick glance again at the context. B'shor Shebora Kodesh Boruch Hu Es Odom HaRishon Netole V'Echziro Al Kolin Nole. Yeah, and he said to him, Re'ei Masai Kamo Noem U'Meshubochem Hen V'chol Ma Sheborosi B'Shvilcho Borosi. I would have thought that it means B'Shvilcho Borosi, so it's your world. But it's not. Ten Daitcho Shelo Tekalkel V'Sachariv Es Olami. In other words, he's telling Odom HaRishon that the world is his world. It's Olami, not the Olam which I gave over to man. It's Olami, it's my world. And I ask you very much, please, not to be mekalkelet. And the Medrash goes on over there, that because if you do mekalkelet, there's nobody who's going to be mesaken. There is nobody who can be mesaken your kilkel. And the Medrash goes on over there to show that Moshe Rabbeinu died because of Odom HaRishon's Averim that he took from the Eitz HaDaas. And that's a part of this Chazal, which means that what the Medrash is saying is like this. The Medrash brings a marshal of a woman who got arrested. She was pregnant and she was put in jail. And she completed her pregnancy in jail and the baby was born. And she brought him up in jail. And then eventually she died. And one day the king was passing by the jail, so the boy who was born, he goes and asks the king, he says, what am I doing over here? I didn't do any crimes. Why am I in jail? So the king said, oh, you're right. Yeah, it's not because of you, it's because of your mother. Your mother was a criminal and she was put in jail and that's why you were born here. So also here, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Why do I die? Yeah. Also, the Chazal bring the hen. Yeah, it says by when Rabban Shem sent Odom HaRishon out of Gan Eden, it says hen ha Odom ha yokaachat mimenu. Now he's yodea toiv v'ro. He ate from the thing. So use the word hen, and then later on it was Zasabrocha hen kovu yomecholomos. I think it was Zasabrocha. Otherwise, it's in Chayes earlier in Bamidbar. Hen kovu yomecholomos. So hen. The Gzeirah Shavah tells us, you know why you're dying? Because of Odom HaRishon. Now, what's that got to do with the beauty of the world? Is that a prat? Is that a klal? What exactly is the Medrash saying? I mean, the fact that the Medrash is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu had to die because of the fact that Odom HaRishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas, that I understand very well. But how does that tie in with the beauty of the Gan Eden? You don't see really a connection with the fact that the garden was a very beautiful garden, besides not knowing exactly what the significance of that beauty is. But now what? So it seems to be two different issues, but the Medrash does put them together. So the question is that it sounds as though it's one issue. So what is going on over here? Of course, I don't really know, but I can tell you the way it sounds like. I looked a little bit around. The Sfas Emes talks about it, but the very, very tiefer Sachen, and I figured I'd leave it because I don't really understand it sufficiently well to really say anything intelligent about it. So what is this idea of the beauty? The truth is that it's something I have the feeling that we don't hear very much about that usually, about what a beautiful world we live in. Just tell you what I wrote in the recent book which I put out about Rashi, for Rashi's thoughtful students. And so I go through some of the parshas at the beginning of Bereshis by Briya Sa'olam, and to try and see how Rashi deals with that. Anyway, so there's a girsa issue over here. It says, Tatshe ha'oretz deshe, esef mazriya zera. Tatshe ha'oretz deshe, esef mazriya zera. So Rashi says, our Rashi say, v'loi ho yoloshen ha'mikro loi me ta'asif ha'oretz. Now, Rashi is asking a kasha. Why does it say tatshe ha'oretz esef mazriya zera? Deshe, yes, is l'chayra something different than esef. We'll talk about that in a moment. So Rashi is asking, why say tatshe altogether? Why you could just have said ta'asif ha'oretz, let the earth bring out grasses. So Rashi says, Shemine deshoim mechulokim kol echad la'atzmo nikro esef pliny. Says that deshe doesn't mean grass. Deshe means greenery. The Rishonim used the word levisha sa'oretz, the greening of the earth. That's what deshe is. Tatshe ha'oretz deshe means let the world become green. With what? Esef mazriya zera. So why not leave out tatshe altogether and just say ta'asiv ha'oretz? In other words, instead of making a verb out of deshe, make a verb out of esef and just say ta'asiv ha'oretz, let there be grasses on the land. Ve'ein loshon le'medaber lo'ima deshe ploini, she'loshon deshe hu levisha se'oretz basabim, k'shim is malas b'deshoim. But Rashi is very schwer as it stands, because why does it explain why it didn't say ta'asiv? Yeah? Don't tell us about the greening, just tell us about the grasses, and do that by making the verb ta'asiv. What's wrong with that? So I found taka girse in Rashi, like the way Rashi we have it doesn't really make much sense. But there's a different girse in Rashi, in an early manuscript, where it says, not v'loy hoyo loyloma, but v'hoyo loyloma ta'asiv ha'oretz. The posuk could have said, ta'asiv ha'oretz. So he says, what does it mean? Mine ha'deshoim mecholokim kol echad nikro la'atzma esef pliny. Ve'ein loshon le'medaber lo'ima deshe pliny, sh'loshon deshe hu levisha sa'oretz, k'shim es malas b'doshim. That makes a lot of sense. Rashi is not asking, yeah, like explaining why it couldn't have said ta'asiv. Fakir is saying, adarav, it would have been very, very logical. Why don't you say ta'asiv ha'oretz? Because ta'asiv is the verb that is made out of esef, and esef is the individual grass, it's not the greening of the globe, so why get tied up with the greening altogether? That's what Rashi is saying. Very interesting question. Why couldn't you have said ta'asiv ha'oretz? So, and earlier Rashi had said, and by the way, don't think that it's appositional meaning. Don't think that what the posuk means is tatshe ha'oretz, means let it grow grass. And it explains that by saying, tatshe ha'oretz, and what do I mean? Esef mazriya zera. In other words, that is an apposition. Apposition means my friend John. So John is an apposition to my friend. Yeah, so he also, tatshe ha'oretz, what? Esef mazriya zera. It's not, because desha means one thing and esef means another thing. So it can't be an apposition. So if it's not an apposition, so what is it? So why don't you say, yeah, ta'asif ha'oretz, and leave deshe out altogether. Anyway, so what is Taka Rashi teaching us? And I think that what Rashi is teaching us is that even though it could have said ta'asif ha'oretz and left deshe out altogether, because sof kol sof, the result of all the grasses coming about, the result of that is obviously that the whole thing looks green. So why mention the greening of the earth? So I think the Teretz is exactly the same thing again as we see in Gan Eden. The greening talks of beauty. See, it's very interesting. It says, tatshe ha'oretz deshe, meaning, let the earth become green. Let it be nilbash in greenery. Esef mazriya zera, with grasses that contain in themselves the seed of their own propagation. Now, why does it have to mention that the Esef has Zera in it to produce more grasses? I mean, people also have Zera in themselves to produce more people. Animals also have Zera in themselves to produce more animals. So why do you have to mention it by the grass, and you don't mention it by either the animals or the humans? Although they also have the Zera for their own propagation in themselves. So I think that what it means is like this, that because by a man or even by an animal, they are choshev zachem, they don't become bottle in the life. So you don't have to mention that they have this mila of reproducing themselves, because they're choshev in their own right. And so we know that they have zera, but so what? Why mention it? But by Esav, you're talking about greening the world. You're not talking about animabling the world or meneling the world. Yeah, that there we're talking about individuals, but here we're talking about greening the world. So how do you green the world? By growing grasses. That's why you say both. Tatshe horetz, Esav masriya zera. Right? So what happens? You have millions and billions and billions of blades of grass, which are not kosher in themselves at all. So does that taka mean that the individual grass is bottle to the greening of the world? The answer is no, it's got its own chashivas, because although it looks very, very unchoshev, but you have to remember that each grass has a zera within itself and can gain immortality by falling on the ground, rooting in the ground and producing new grasses. So what's the bottom line? Why mention Tatshe? The answer seems to me to be, at least that's what I wrote in my book about Rashi, and I think that it's the Emes, that this was a separate cheshbon by the Rebbeinu Hashem. It was to make the earth look beautiful, the greening of the earth. You know, you can stand up on a mountain, and you look down and you see the fields and the forests and everything spreading out in front of you, the orchards and the green. It's a beautiful, it's a sight. Like I think the green, they say, in the hospitals, they like to make the walls green because it makes people ragua, that they shouldn't be so nervous and so on. Green is a beautiful color. So Tatshe Oretz, Rebbeinu Hashem said, I want my world to be greened, dressed in green. How am I going to do that? By Esav, with grass. Yeah, but does each blade of grass become bottle? No, Mazir. So there is such an Indian of the beauty of the earth. And in my book I wrote, and I think that it's Emes, there's not only the beauty over here. There's the Indian of Sholem. You know, there's a concept at the time when I wrote it, I didn't know that this word existed, but I talked to someone and he explained it to me. There's synergy. Synergy is a very interesting word. It's a fancy English word, but what does it taka mean? It means that when things work together, they can produce more than if they work individually. In other words, that two people can lift up a heavier load than double what one person can lift up. It's more than double what one person can lift up. It's called synergy. When two koichos get together, they multiply each other's ability. So that's a wonderful thing also. Wonderful thing that you have these blades of grass which are in themselves very, very little, but you put them together with a thousand or a million other blades of grass and you have a beautiful meadow, you have the whole world bursting forth in beautiful fruitfulness. It's a very, very gorgeous world that we have. And that brings us back to this medrash which we were thinking about. What's so important of the fact that the Rebbeinu Shem said is such a beautiful world, such a beautiful world, and please, 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 don't be mekalkalet. And what's the taka got to do with the fact that he was mekalkalet and Moshe Rabbeinu died? What's that got to do with the beauty? So I never really thought about that very much, but now, because I was thinking of talking about that today, the Gavur Rosh Hashanah, so it occurred to me that it's something to think about. What is the significance of the beauty of the world? Min chazal amachshevet asor kavin yoifi yodu la'olam tisha not lo Yerushalayim. So yoifi is something very, very important apparently. And why is it so important? And the thing is, now I don't know whether this is right, but remember, I mentioned before that I looked in the Sfas Emes, so as I say, I'm not going to repeat what I understood from there, which is very little. But he does mention that that when Adam HaRishon was created, so at that time he didn't really have any appreciation of any physical beauty. He was a neshama mensch. He was absolutely a neshama person. And that's what he was. Then he ate from the Eitz HaDaas, so suddenly he created a mixing of neshama and guf, and that created all the problems. Now you have death in the world and so on. So what do we have? When Ribbono Shel Olam was creating the world, he was planning on Adam HaRishon as pure neshama. He was not going to let him eat the Eitz HaDaas. So I imagine that was the plan for the world when the Ribbono Shel Olam created it. So really, if Adam HaRishon doesn't have an appreciation of physical beauty, so what was taka the purpose of that beauty? It's taka very, very, very beautiful. Now, would that have mattered to Adam HaRishon before the Chet? Evidently, yes, because the Ribbono Shel Olam took him out. And he said that when the Ribbono Shel Olam placed him in Gan Eden, he took him around and showed him all the Ilonos and said, look how beautiful and meshubach my world is. This was talking to an Adam HaRishon who did not really have any sense of the beauty of the physical, at least not in the way in which we experience it, because we are very much people of this physical world. But Adam HaRishon wasn't. So what is so important about all this beauty that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave the world? So what's the answer to that? So I imagine that the answer is that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to tell Adam HaRishon and all of us, descendants of Adam HaRishon, of course, hopefully before we were condemned to ultimate death by the fact that he ate from the Eitz HaDaas. What he was telling him, I think, is like this. I mean, when Sas Emes says that he was a neshama person and didn't have any feeling for physical beauty, it apparently doesn't mean that he couldn't see that a difference between something that's beautiful and something that's ugly. It tells us it didn't register with him in an absolute way, because that was not the parsha of which he was being Isaac. But what was the Ribbono Shel Olam telling him? What the Ribbono Shel Olam was telling him was, Adam HaRishon, you have to understand that although you are a purely spiritual being, but you're different than the Malachim, because they live in the Olam HaSoel Yoinim, and they taka don't live in a physical world, but you live in a physical world. Now, it may not be that that is what gives you your highs to see, oh, how beautiful it is, and so on, because that beauty is really botl or mevotl relative to the true beauty that you can experience in Avodas Hashem. But I want you to understand that it's important. And I think that that is such an important lesson for us to learn. And that is really why I'm bringing it on a shir which really is pointing towards Rosh Hashanah. And that is that you see from these, I brought you now a few makairos, I brought you this makor in the Medrash Rabbah. Look how beautiful it is. And the tatshei ha'aretz, Esav Masriya Zera, and then the Asura Kabin Yoifish Yod Le'olam. The beauty, cleanliness, order seems to be a very, very big cheshbon in the Ribbono Shel Olam's creation of the world. And as I say, I don't really hear much about it. I think I'm looking back at my yeshiva career and I don't, every once in a while in the various yeshivas I've been, so somebody gets excited that the dormitory looks messy and nobody's making their beds. I don't know what it's like today. But it doesn't seem to be an ikka in the chinuch. And it seems to me that it is an ikker in the chinuch, because the Rabban Yisham didn't wait. He beshore that the Rabban Yisham took Odom Harishon. Here's the lashon, if I can find it again. Beshore sheboru HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Odom Harishon, not lo, he took him. It's very interesting. You know, Rabbi said, it's taka interesting, because when the Rabban Yisham created Odom Harishon, he created him outside Gan Eden. It says, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es Odom, and he took him in, and put him in the Gan. But he was born outside the Gan. Now, he didn't tell him outside the Gan, look what a beautiful world I created. What does it look like outside the Gan? I guess not like a Gan. You have jungles, you have you don't have the orderliness of the Gan. But it's still, in many ways, a beautiful world, I would imagine. Trees and waterfalls and echves, like it's nature is beautiful. But he waited for the Gan. What's the difference between in the Gan and outside the Gan? I imagine the difference between in the Gan and outside the Gan is that you have orderliness in a Gan. Outside the Gan, probably everything was growing by arvuvia, like nowadays you go into a forest, you see there's no organization, that this is here and this is there. The Gan, what's a Gan? A Gan is something which has orderliness. The trees are arranged in a logical or pleasing way. I don't know exactly what it was. But that's what it is, and that's what the Rabban Yisham tried to show him. And what is the Rabban Yisham saying? The Rabban Yisham is saying, look, Adam, think this through a moment. Yeah, I just created you. Fine. Shalom Aleichem. Beautiful. You're in the world. You're in the Gan Eden. Isn't it nice? Now, you have to ask yourself, why are you here? Why are you here? I mean, you're a neshama mensch, right? At the moment, you haven't yet combined the neshama and the guf by doing any chatoim. Fine. So what are you doing here? Why do I have to put you down here? I can keep you up in the shamayim with all the malachim. You're probably much more comfortable over there. So what am I putting you down here for? So that's the old yesod, which we mentioned a lot of times on the Hutton story on Chanukah. Shemen is the Shemen HaMishra. In other words, if a heavenly body comes down and is put down in our physical world, then the reason for that is that he should be Mashpia, that he should be Mashpia on this physical world. He should do something with it. Because otherwise, why is he here? He could just as well have stayed in Shamayim. So, the Rabban Yisham, when he's pointing out to Odom HaRishon the fact that this Gan Eden, not outside, but that the Gan Eden where he put him, and where ideally he would have stayed, apparently, I imagine, the Rabban Yisham only sent him out because of the Chet. So if he would have stayed in Gan Eden, that means that the pu'ula of humanity would have exhausted itself in Gan Eden, which, if I understand things correctly at all, is a physical replica of the Olam HaSo Elyonim. I mean, that is what the Gan Eden is. So that is where Odom is supposed to pile. So what's he supposed to be doing over there? If he's not got special hanoah from the physicality, so then what is he doing there? So apparently he has to be mashpia there. That's why he has to learn how to handle this physical world. That's why Rabban Yisham brings all the animals to him and says, give them names. Find out what the function is of each animal. You, Mr. Odom HaRishon, are going to be Isaac in ruchniestike things, but then who's going to look after physical things? So I'm giving you the whole animal world to use. Now go ahead, find out the nature and the tachlis of each one, and that will then make this balance which I'm looking for. So your needs will be looked after by in the animal world. I imagine that's what's being said. It's a Mayurde Gezach. What happened? Odom HaRishon did eat from the Eitz HaDaas, and he was sent out. He went out of Gan Eden. He went out of Gan Eden. What's happened to the Musag of beauty that we were Madaic before? Oh, I mentioned before that it says Oilomi. Yeah, you shouldn't be Mekalkel my Oilom, the Rebbeinu Shem says. Rebbeinu Shem says, yeah, look, I put you down here, but remember, it's my Oilom. I'm putting you here for a tachlis, not that you should enjoy yourself. That's not the point. Yeah, your point is to whatever it is that he was supposed to do in Gan Eden. I guess we would call it steiging or something like that. Yeah, but remember, it's my Oilom. So, and I put you there in my Oilom. Now, what am I putting you in my Oilom for? With a purpose. And that is what you have to learn. You have to learn how to use the animal world, how to use the physical world, and create a world for yourself, which I want and which I did not have before I created this physical world. This physical world, you know, we've brought Midroshim, where the so Miloshim Kilyon Nefesh, the Rebbeinu Shem was sort of waiting, craving, when am I going to have this physical world? And he was very, very interested in creating it. Why was he so interested in creating it? The Teretz is that apparently what can be accomplished in a physical world is different and perhaps greater than what can be accomplished in the world of the Malochim. And that's why the Malochim didn't want to part with the Torah, but the Rebbeinu Shem says, yes, that's what I want. I want it down there. I don't want it up here. And we know the rest of the story. That is what's happening. My Ha'orah is, my Rosh Hashanah Dika Ha'orah, is, so beauty is a value. Do we recognize this as such? I think last week we talked about the sad, sad posuk. You have the sitra datna elyon. I'm going to make you elyon l'sehilo l'shemo l'siferas. You remember we talked? I think we talked out about that. Yeah, this terribly, terribly sad story. That in a time like ours, where they're fighting against Bris Mila, they're fighting against everything, against Shrita. Like, what evil, terrible things can be said about Yidden is being said all over the world, with nations which have no shaykhus to Yidden. They've never seen a Yid in their life, but they curse us out in the United Nations. It's so sad that the Jew is looked upon with so much disgust, with so much horror. Ugh, that's what Jews are. That's what's happening in the world today. Rabbi said, that's what's happening. And that's so sad when the Rebbeinu Shem said, my ideal is that you should be l'sehilo, that everybody is praising you, l'shem, that they swap stories about you, about your fame, that you're such a wonderful, wonderful people and that we all want to emulate you. L'sefeiras, Hispoer Olai, the Ramban says, that Hispoer Olai means when Paro said to Moshe, Moshe said to Paro, Hispoer Olai, yeah, make me do this, you make me do whatever you want me to do, and I'll show you I can do it. So Hispoer Olai means you can order them around and tell them what to do. Anechtega Tog, none of that is true today. And I think that maybe we're not sufficiently attuned to that aspect of the Torah which deals with beauty. Which deals with beauty. And may have told you the story. I'll quickly be to finish this year. I'll tell you the story. I was with my wife. I was in a supermarket. And so we bought a couple of things and we were going out and putting the stuff in the car. So a lady comes over, not a frumma lady at all. And the supermarket is our famous 7 Mile Market here in Baltimore, a beautiful, big supermarket. And she was crying. And she said, you know what? She says, I've been shopping in this supermarket for so long. And there's so many rabbis in here who come and shop. And do you know, in all those years that I've been shopping over here, not a single one ever smiled at me or said good morning, except you. And I wanted to tell you that you made me feel so good and made me feel so sad about all these other people who don't say hi or don't say hello as they pass me in the aisles. That's the story. I'm not saying that in order to be Meshaveach myself. Maybe some of you will have thoughts about that. Should we go around smiling at the strange women and saying good morning? I don't know. My sechel tells me yes. But in this particular case, it chapta nafka mina. Isn't that part of the beauty of the world? I mean, that the Rabbeinu Shlom said, ten daitro not to be mekalkel. It's a kilkel. It's a kilkel when goyim, proste goyim, look down on yidden. I mean, obviously it has to do with prejudices and all kinds of horrible things. But sometimes one wonders whether they don't have some kind of a reason to be critical of some of the things that we do, some of the ways in which we live, and so on. It's for every person, mitzat himself, to be ma'ayan, where he's taka holding in the avoider of beautifying the physical world in which we live. And I would imagine that beautifying also has to do with contributing to a pleasant relationship with the physical world and with the human world among whom we live and with whom we have to deal one way or another. And sof kol sof, the Rabbeinu Shlom's hakpoda is that it should be beautiful. And any of us who, in hearing the story, or maybe even without my Kreuzer Chidushim, feel that perhaps their contribution to the beauty of the world, to the beauty of society, as it stands at this particular moment in history, maybe we'll consider that maybe on Rosh Hashanah, when we try to chatshu ma'aseichem, to try and make ourselves better, more used to the world, one might almost say. And we've been in the past, maybe that is something also which can we try to be mesaken, to be a more positive member of society. Even that society with which we don't want to mix and we don't want to learn from and all these things. But at a superficial level, the smile, the nod, the offer to help carrying a package, all these things. Some of you may know my son-in-law, Avi Kosman. He's a rabbi in Slovodka and Bnei Brak, but he has a minhag. Thought I'd pass it on. Maybe he's not so happy that I mentioned him, but the Emes is he does it, and I think that it's a beautiful thing. He says he makes a point. He flies quite often because yeshiva sends him to America to raise money for the yeshiva. So he flies quite often. So by the baggage carousel, he makes a point of, if you can find one, to stand next to an elderly Goyisha lady, or even B'deva, the Jewish lady. And why does he do that? Because when her valise comes around, he can quickly go and lift it off the carousel for her and put it on her wagon, whatever those things are called, and make her happy. And I think I admire him for that. I think that's a beautiful thing to do, because that contributes to the all-over beauty of the society in which we're living. I want to wish all of you a Ksiva v'chasima toiva. Should have a benched year, should have a year of shalom, 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 and health and happiness and all those tzoras. The Rabbeinu Shlom should help. It should be a year of Yeshua v'nechomas.